Thank you, Jack, for enlivening our worship this morning and for sharing your gifts with us today. Our sermon scripture is based on a reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 35. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." May we sing our response to the scripture reading. "O come, all ye faithful," we'll sing verses 1 and 4. It's number 148. Big sigh of relief. We've made it through the Christmas season, an odd one to be sure, with less of the usual trappings of crowded holiday shopping and cooking big meals and no one going over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house. Can you remember being a kid and it seemed like Christmas took forever to get here? All the long, cold winter days were full of anxiety and anticipation. When was Christmas coming? How many more sleeps? And isn't it funny how once you became a so-called grown-up, Christmas gets here awfully, awfully fast? One minute you're enjoying the summer sun, the next minute you realize you had better start shopping and wrapping and packing. Christmas comes too quickly for adults, too slowly for children. Well, just think about Simeon, this righteous old man who had been waiting and waiting and waiting for, as my friend Brenda would say, three forevers, not for Christmas per se, but for the Messiah, the consolation and the hope of all Israel, the one whom the prophets had spoken of for centuries upon centuries, for three forevers. Years ago, Simeon had received a message of promise from the Holy Spirit herself. She told him he would not die before he got to see the Lord's anointed with his very own eyes. Now that's a promise worth waiting for sure. But it didn't come with a set in stone date. Simeon would just have to wait and hope and pray and be on the alert for the moment when the Holy Spirit told him, "The Messiah is here, go see him." Simeon woke up every morning thinking, maybe today is the day. Maybe today he would see the fulfillment of another scripture that he surely knew, the promise, the warning from Malachi 3:1, that the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, and you better be ready to meet him. The scripture says something intriguing, that the Holy Spirit rested on Simeon. She was with him all the time, guiding and comforting him, probably telling him to chill when he got impatient with the waiting. I wonder how the Holy Spirit manifested herself to Simeon. She comes to different people in different ways, you know. Sometimes as a feeling, sometimes as an unmistakable sign, sometimes as a small voice in the back of your head. That's how she came to me once. I was planning, have I told you this story before? One August, I was planning to drive by myself from Lexington all the way to Saratoga Racetrack in upstate New York. I had a hard time waking up in the morning I was going to start out. That should have been a sign to me right there. I hemmed and hawed around and then finally got my bags and prepared to get in my car. A voice that was definitely not my usual inner voice said very clearly, "Don't go." It was at the back of my head, not in front as my inner voice usually is. And I audaciously argued back, "But I've got to go. I promised my friend Dale I would come up and work for him. He's counting on me." And I told my friend Sally she could stay in my apartment while I was gone. So I got in my car and I started off, and wouldn't you know it, I broke down somewhere in Maryland. I had to schlep back to Lexington on a Greyhound bus, leaving my car behind. Lesson learned. When the Holy Spirit says don't go, you don't go. But one day after all that waiting, she told Simeon very clearly, "Go, go to the temple, go see the Messiah." Imagine if Simeon had said, "Nah, Holy Spirit, I don't feel like getting out today. I'm tired. I'll go next time." Simeon, there would be no next time. This was the day, the one and only day, the day you've been waiting for three forevers. Simeon, unlike me, heard and heeded the word from the Spirit and let her guide him to the temple. He got there just as Mary and Joseph were bringing the infant Jesus to be dedicated and consecrated, as was usual for a firstborn Jewish male. Coincidence? I think not. As one of my seminary professors used to say, there are no coincidences, only God's surprises. Confidence then? Absolutely. Obedience? Absolutely. Reward for patience and belief? Absolutely. How it must have warmed Simeon's heart to realize the promise had come true. The Messiah is here and I am seeing him. Although the promise came with a certain caveat, "You're going to die after you see the Messiah, Simeon." That was not his concern at the moment. He would die happy, fulfilled, blessed. Here at last was the Messiah. Simeon had proof that God keeps all the promises God makes. And Simeon learned even more strongly that the word and the leading of the Holy Spirit are trustworthy. Of course he had to wait. Of course he had to stay on the alert. Of course he had to be willing to listen, to discern the Spirit's distinctive voice telling him it was time to go. And he had to be willing to go when she said go. No holding back, no more waiting. Now was the dawn arising, a new era of God's relationship with all of God's creation. Now was the time for Simeon to go to the temple and see what God had in mind. Now was the time to rejoice. How did Mary and Joseph react when Simeon approached them? Of course, all parents want their babies to be admired and cooed over by friends and families and strangers. But what went through their minds when Simeon took Jesus in his arms and prayed over him and thanked God for letting him see the Messiah? Mary and Joseph must have been startled at first. Simeon's words to them were both comforting and ominous. "This child is destined to be the rising and falling of many in Israel." Well, as mystical as that was, it was pretty special. Mary and Joseph could smile at that. Our baby, our little baby Jesus, he's going to do something radical like that. I have the feeling that although Mary and Joseph knew how special Jesus was, they still strove to make sure Jesus had a so-called normal childhood. No pressure on him to do miracles or make a big proclamation about who he really was. They had brought him to the temple in accordance with the ancient law, in order to start him off, right, so he would grow to be a devout Jew. Redeeming the firstborn with a prescribed sacrifice served as a reminder of how the angel of death had spared all the Israelite firstborn children in Egypt at the Passover. Maybe Mary and Joseph remembered all the angels and the stars and the shepherds and all those other wonders that had occurred around Jesus' birth. And they had named him Jesus, just as the angel had commanded Joseph. But for now, they just wanted to be a regular family doing regular things. Nothing wrong with that. But Simeon was there to remind them that it wasn't always going to be like that. Jesus had a magnificent destiny to fulfill, and they should never forget that. Simeon said Jesus would be a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. And that was good. The Gentiles were sitting in darkness and ignorance and sin. They needed light and enlightening. The Messiah would teach them all about God and bring them into the circle of God's love, and he would promote peace and unity among all of God's children. That certainly was something to celebrate and look forward to, Perhaps Simeon remembered another scripture, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3, which proclaims nations shall come to his light and kings to the brightness of his rising. How wonderful that would be. We've been waiting for that to happen for three forevers. But the last part of Simeon's loving prophecy was a stark warning, a prediction to Mary about what would ultimately happen to this blessed child. He is destined to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Mary must have been smiling right up to that very minute when Simeon said that about a sword piercing her soul. No, Mary, not everybody is going to love your pretty little baby. There will be some who will oppose him from the beginning to the end, the end. There was a hint here from Simeon of what would happen to Jesus later, the way the rulers and even some of his own people would fight against him and say false things about him and finally put him up on a cross where his mother would watch him endure horrendous suffering and see a sword pierce his side. The connection between Mary and Jesus would be so strong, so solid, that when that sword struck Jesus, it will also strike Mary's heart and her soul. Fair warning, Mary. But wait, let's not charge ahead into the rest of the story, a future that lay 30 years away from that moment. Let's just take this time in the temple to celebrate not only the birth of Jesus, but the way the Holy Spirit has taken such a prominent place in this story. Besides, the story, as we know, does not end with the cross on the hill or the tomb in the garden. It goes on, and it is still going on, with resurrection and reconciliation and anticipation of a joyful and triumphant return. So having seen Jesus for himself, Simeon left the temple joyful and triumphant. The Lord has done great things for me, for whereof I am glad, he sang. The Lord has shown me my Lord, the Messiah. He will do great things for Israel and indeed for the whole world. It was time for Jesus to come and time for Simeon to go. But Simeon didn't leave the temple lamenting, wait, now I have to die. No, Simeon left the temple with joy and hope in his heart. Perhaps at one time he had confided in someone else about the Holy Spirit's promise, and perhaps that person had dismissed him saying, you're daft, Simeon, that's not going to happen. Well, no, he wasn't daft, and it did happen. Simeon kept the faith. Simeon believed and waited, although it was undoubtedly hard, and his patience and faith and belief were richly rewarded. Simeon means God has heard. God had heard his prayer to see the Messiah, and Simeon could go on his way now, joyful and triumphant, praising the Savior, praising the promise-keeping God who had sent him, praising the Holy Spirit who did not forsake him, but at the right time let him know it was time to go welcome the Messiah. So what about you? What about us? Will we leave this place today joyful and triumphant, praising and thanking God for the Messiah? Will we come to this place at the behest of the Holy Spirit? Will we listen for her and then listen to her and go where and when she tells us? Will we put her off? Will we say, no, I'll go later, when she wants us to go now? Will we listen to her pronouncements and instructions and direction, however hard they are hard to hear and heed? Will we trust her, trust God, to show us the light and take us through all our times of test and turmoil? Will we trust God to hear us as God heard Simeon? May we indeed leave this holy temple joyful and triumphant, eager to find out how the Holy Spirit will speak to us and to find out where she will send us, eager to see what God has planned for us, eager to embrace our Lord and Savior and praise him not just for three forevers, but for all our forevers and ever and ever. Amen.